Pastor Bennett asked me if I need a lapel phone, a lapel microphone, and I said, no, we'll just stick with the state mic here, so that thing works out fine for us here. But it's a joy for me and my wife Karen to be with you guys this morning here. It's a real, real special privilege to be able to come and worship the Lord with you this morning and to sing hymns. We don't get to do those things that often, some places, but I love it this morning here to be able to sing God's wonderful word through the word of God here, through song and hymns here. I appreciate the opportunity, Pastor Benz and the elders, for the opportunity that you're giving to me to come and share God's word, and also during the fellowship time, give an update on the ministry as well. So thank you, but also thank you for your faithful prayers and support. Very, very means much to me and Karen and the ministry of LCMI. Very grateful to the Lord for that. But just want to, before we dive into seeing here what God would want us to hear, I would like to just make a mention. So joy to see Joyce in the back. Appreciate you hiking all the way down from Ephrata. Unfortunately, we couldn't drive together this morning, but thank you, Joyce. Good to see you. And then June Hirsch as well for long years of partnership with the ministry as well. And I also see Pastor Ron in the back when I'm introducing, you know, shaking my hand. And I see, like, I see this brother. I've seen him somewhere. And then he says, I'm Ron. Like, oh, yes. And it was such a good to see you, brother. Having said all of that, I just wanted to, what a joy to be able to come and stand with you, share with you God's word. As I prayed and asking God how I can be of an encouragement for, not only for you, to you, but as a reminder for myself as well as we serve our Lord Jesus. This morning I want to speak to you from Hebrews chapter 10, Hebrews chapter 10, verses 32 to 39. Even as you're going to the Hebrews chapter 10, just want to give you the title of our study this morning is going to be Suffering, a Critical Element of a Vibrant Christian Life. Suffering, a critical element of a vibrant Christian life. And that's one of the things that, it is such an important reminder for all of us, no matter which stage of Christian life we are finding ourselves in, because suffering is a part of all of our lives. And so that's something that I want us to look at, what God's word has to say to us this morning. And so as you've been to Hebrews chapter 10 now, let me just read these passages for us this morning. Chapter 10, verses 30 through 32 to 39. The writer of Hebrews says, but recall the former days when after you were enlightened, you endured a hard struggle with sufferings, sometimes being publicly exposed to reproach and affliction, and sometimes being partners with those so treated. For you had compassion on those in prison, and you joyfully accepted the plundering of your property, since you knew that you yourself had a better possession and an abiding one. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. Verse 37, for yet a little while, and the coming one will come and will not delay. But my righteous one shall live by faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who have faith and preserve their souls. Pray with me before we study here. Father, we are so grateful to you this morning. I find myself so much in desperate need of you this morning. Lord, it is a very precious thing to be able to be given the opportunity to break your bread. So, Father, I pray that you would anoint me with your spirit every word that comes through me, Lord, that'll be yours. And that, God, that we will be, all of us, encouraged, equipped, so we can go forth and live for you boldly, living in the name of Christ. Submit ourselves to you, Lord, this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So suffering, a critical element of a vibrant Christian life. You know, if a question is asked, what does a vibrant Christian life looks like? You know, if you do a survey, and many surveys were done in our culture, and many times even in our churches, we find that the description of what is a vibrant Christian life looks like, folks tend to use words like comfort, or success, or peace, or having material benefit like a blessing. These surveys also find that rarely that we hear words like suffering or persecution used in a positive way, used in a direction of having a vibrant Christian life. But yet, as the scriptures, as we look at it, whether Hebrews chapter 10 and the passage that Pastor Ron read earlier on from Philippians chapter 1, when Paul is writing from the prison. Right, he's not at a vacation home, but he's writing this thoughts, this challenge of, you know, standing firm for Christ. And that's what scriptures constantly teaches, something different than what the culture constantly tells us. That vibrancy in a Christian life, vibrancy in a life of a person is always equated to comfort, success, blessings. We find that in chapter 10, verses 32 to 39, the Spirit confronts us with this truth, that suffering for Christ is not an interruption of vibrant faith. It is the primary means by which vibrant faith is revealed, refined, and sustained. Now, just to get some context of this chapter 10, the book of Hebrews was written to believers, specifically to Jewish believers. These are the friends who were Jewish by birth, by tradition, but yet gospel has entered their lives, and now they've become followers of Christ and living for him, but who are experiencing intense pressure to abandon Christ and return to a more socially acceptable form of religion. And this is where the writer of Hebrews makes a very deep and intense presentation and challenges the believers to draw near. Up to the first 10 chapters, you see that he is challenging them to drawing near to God through Christ, holding fast to the hope that they confess, encourage one another in faith and avoid shrinking back, and to endure the hardship. But that do it out of obedience to the gospel and to Christ who has saved them. And now in verse 32, now he comes and then raises a question and tries to answer this by raising this question. And the next few verses, he begins to answer how believers are to respond when faithfulness to the Lord brings suffering. Right? For the next verses that what we're seeing is the writer is saying, how are believers to respond? How am I to respond when faithfulness to the Lord brings suffering? Like I said earlier on, a vibrant Christian life is marked by persevering faith that endures persecution with joy, confidence, and hope in God's promised reward. I just want to share with you briefly a testimony from one of our camper. And this, I personally did not meet this camper, but I'm just, when I read the story of this camper, actually Karen first read this in her, you know, because we get testimonies from our camps almost every day. And Karen came across this testimony, and then she said, "Son, you got to read this thing. It's a really, really deeply touching testimony." This one girl, Parina, her name is, she's from India, central part of India. She was at our camp. And our brother, our mobilizer brother, who's been mobilizing, trying to bring in children from their community to our camps, she was one of those campers that God, as in sovereign plan, brought this gal to our camps. And God, you know, revealed himself through the gospel at our camp, and God saved her. God saved her. And the backstory of her is that her parents, the whole family is a Hindu family. And then and in God's providence, the dad passes away. And this is where our ministry gets in connection with this gal. We learned at the camp that after the camp was over, the uncles, two of them, began to persecute mom and the children. Because what God has done through this girl, Sparina's life, she not only got saved our camp, God used her to bring gospel to the house that led mom and the siblings coming to the Lord Jesus Christ as well. And that really shook the lives of people around them, including their own uncles. And that's what the devil can do and will do, that the uncles began to tear down a water connection. In the rural India, you got to recognize if there's only one line of pipe of water comes, and everybody shares that. And this water doesn't come every single day either. There's only certain times of the week that this particular locale you will get water. And there's certain times of the week you're only receiving 1 hour of, or half an hour. And even that connection, this uncle has cut that connection out. And they also began to sell the piece of land that separates Parina's family's house, and house is like a very small house, and the uncle's house. And that really shook the family big time. And our mobilizer friend, pastor friend, as he ministered through these difficult times for this family, young Christian family, what was incredibly powerful that came out from this is that their resolve to stay strong in the midst of a kind of persecution, a kind of suffering that a young Christian family never expected to. But they said, you know what, come what may, we will follow Christ. We will be in Christ Jesus. And we praise God for that, you know, for a young family, young Christian family, to have that type of resolve. So my friends, the biblical persecution is rooted in cosmic battle between kingdom of God and the world. So the world around us, they don't appreciate what we believe. They don't understand us, and they don't appreciate, obviously. And that has brought hatred towards us. But if you look at the scriptures, the word of God, the Lord Jesus himself said, the world hated, and it will hate you as well, is what the Lord said in John chapter 15. But I want to, before we start studying more on this thing, I want to put a caution as to what is not biblical suffering or persecution. Because every time you go through a suffering, it doesn't have to be, we got to be careful that we don't necessarily equate to, oh, okay, well, you know, this is because of we are a Christian. We got to be careful about how we equate that. We also need to understand that one important truth regarding the suffering or persecution. Jesus said, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So if as a Christian, if I'm involved in an unrighteous activity and receive consequences for it, then naturally it is not connected to our faith. It is connected to our unrighteous activity. And so I want us to be cautious about that when we think about and we talk about suffering and or persecution. So now going to our passage here, the writer now begins to write from chapter verse 32. He says, but recall the former days when you were enlightened. You endured a hard struggle with suffering, sometimes being publicly exposed to reproach and affliction. And sometimes being partners with those so treated. The first thing that I think the writer wants us to understand and be able to answer how believers are to respond when faithfulness brings suffering, that we are to first remember our past faithfulness that we had with our Lord Jesus Christ. And that past, you know, it doesn't have to be 4 years or 5 years. It could be just yesterday. And it is so notorious for us as a Christian. We might be all excited in the Lord and we are so pumped about what God has been doing. But something happens today, we sometimes forget what God has done yesterday. Right? And so the writer is saying, recall the former days. Recall the former days. Remember, the writer begins to with a command. He says, remember or recall. These believers have already suffered. They had public reproach and affliction. They were associated with imprisoned believers. Their property was their property itself was confiscated, and a lot of social and economic loss. Yet, their response, they endured. The writer says, you endured a hard struggle with suffering. That word endure is to remain firm under suffering. You held your feet down. You did not let the situation, circumstances shake you or shake us. The question is then, why remember? Because they knew there's something deeper and bigger than their circumstances. They knew they had, in verse 34 says, they had better possession and an abiding one. This eternal hope that they had in Christ Jesus. And that is what the writer is saying. Hold on to that. Remember that. That is what you have. So as we look at this first point of remembering your past faithfulness, remembering what God has done, the key takeaway for us is spiritual perseverance is fueled by memory. When we remember God's past faithfulness, it strengthens present endurance and future, pushes us to look future hope that we have in Christ Jesus. Prophet Jeremiah, writing Lamentations chapter 3, verses 21 to 24, says, but this I recall to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saves my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. But this I recall to mind. Spiritual perseverance is the enduring, faithful pursuit of God through trial. So when we are going through some challenges, some persecution of any kind, of all kinds, we are to be able to endure as we look back, as we remember what God has done and what God is doing and the hope that we have in him and through Christ in the years to come. And that is not only on the life as we live on this earth, but for eternity that is to come. So as a way of application, look back and remember how God saved you. Recall times he sustained you under pressure and suffering. Let's remember the past to strengthen today and to get the result for tomorrow. And that's what the writer is saying. That's how he's trying to answer this question, how believers are to respond when faithfulness brings suffering. The second thing I want to share with you in trying to see how the writer is trying to address that question of how believers are to respond when faithfulness brings suffering is that we are to endure with joy because of eternal hope. We are to endure with joy. You know, we see that passages in James that, you know, when we go through all sufferings, we are to be persevering with joy. Because when we do that, it builds our spiritual character. The believers joyfully accepted the loss, not because suffering is pleasant, but because their perspective has changed. The only way we can go through this suffering, we only endure the suffering with joy, is because the perspective is changed. It's not about you know, what is happening to us. We are saying, okay, Lord, what? It is not the why, but it is the what. God, what are you working in this circumstance? Because when we begin to see that, we begin to shift our focus from that particular circumstance to what God is doing in my life. Perhaps we're using that circumstance. They understood that. That's what we see that in verse 32 and verse 34. They joyfully accepted this suffering because they began to see God's perspective. They understood that present loss is temporary. Present loss is temporary. Eternal inheritance is secured, guaranteed. Nothing can separate them from Christ. And that's what the writer is trying to remind them constantly. Look to Christ. Look to Christ. With this being the foundation, we can display joy in our suffering by shifting focus from present pain to eternal hope, trusting in God's sovereignty and finding purpose through redemptive suffering by uniting trials with Christ. For every single circumstance that I go through, that we all go through, God redeems them, because there's a reason why God allows these things into our lives. Because he is conforming us day after day after day into his liking. And as God sees it, there are certain circumstances might be very painful. Like our camper that we just saw earlier on. I mean, I cannot imagine the shoes that she's walking in. Now, because of the water supply being cut, you know what she has to do and her family has to do? They have to walk few kilometers away from their home with their different pots that they have to draw water from a well and then come back home. Hardship, my friends. But they're saying God, what God is trying to do in their lives, they believe God is strengthening their faith as they're going through and experiencing their sufferings in that regard. Our relationship is eternal. Our relationship with Christ is eternal. So come what happens today, it will never change the end goal for us. Our end goal is to be with Christ for eternity. We might face all kinds of persecution for being a Christian, but the adversary cannot ever take away that relationship that we have with Christ. And that is what will sustain us. That is what helps us to pivot from the circumstance that we might be going through and to say, you know what, like, Lord, what are you trying to show me in this particular thing? So as we see this shifting of focus from the circumstance to the Lord and to the eternal hope that we have in him, we are able to suffer through joy. So as we began to see, we are trying to see what the writer of Hebrew, how he is addressing this question, how believers are to respond when faithfulness brings suffering. First, we saw that we are reminding ourselves of God's past faithfulness as it strengthens present endurance and enables us to look forward for the future hope that we have in Christ. And secondly, we just saw that we can endure suffering with joy because we pivot from our circumstance to that eternal hope we have in Christ Jesus. Let me share with you a third way the writer of Hebrews is trying to address this question of how we as believers are to respond when faithfulness brings suffering. The third thing he suggests to us from verse 35 and 36, that we are not to throw away our confidence in Christ Jesus. A call to endurance, he says, therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has great reward. The writer is saying, just because you're going through something, don't throw away. Don't throw away that relationship. Don't throw away that confidence we have in Christ. And as I said, I want to go back to my camper's testimony. I said, I just cannot imagine what she's going through. I cannot imagine the struggles that they're going through right now from what we've learned, even after we got that testimony, that it is just very hard to hear. But they're saying, we will trust the Lord. We will trust the Lord. That confidence is there because they tasted something that is so good. They tasted that is so precious. They knew they were lost. They knew they were destined for destruction, condemnation, like Paul says in Romans chapter 8. But because Christ has saved them, they've tasted that wonderful gift of salvation, which is so pure, so sweet than the circumstance that the family is experiencing. So endurance is not a passive resignation. It is an active obedience. Like when you're going through such difficult situation, we are making a resolve because it is an active obedience decision that we make because of what Christ has done, because of what we tasted of Christ. So endurance is not a passive resignation. It is an active obedience, continuing to do the will of God even when it is costly. One commentator put this way about this particular verse. It says, the early Christian community faced persecution and hardship, making perseverance a vital quality for maintaining faith. The call to persevere is not just about enduring difficulties, but also about remaining faithful to the teachings and the examples of Jesus Christ. So it's just not about be bold about it. But how can you do that? Because in our own strength, we can't. We need God's word. We need the enabling power that is at work within us. Like if Paul says in Ephesians chapter 3, that the great power that is at work within, that resurrection power that God used to raise his own son from the dead is in us. So we are not powerless. We have that power. That's what Paul says. And that's what the writer is saying. That we because of that power, we don't throw away the confidence. We don't throw away. We don't resign. But we say, I'm going to obey God in this particular circumstance. And when we do that, when we make every effort to do that, that becomes the mark of a vibrant Christian. Not what you see on the Google about the survey results of a vibrant Christian look like. A vibrant Christian will look like when he or she is standing firm because they recognize the power that is within them through Christ that can sustain what they're facing. So God's promises are secure because He is immutable, never changing, always faithful. And because of that, we stand firm. Because of that, we do not throw away our confidence. And that is the call to endurance. That is the challenge for us that we have from the writer. Of how do we respond to suffering when we are faithful to Christ? So we looked at so far in answering this question that the writer is posing of how a believer ought to respond when you are faithful to the Lord, but yet suffering comes your way. We saw that he was reminding us to be reminding ourselves of God's faithfulness as it strengthens the present life and as enables us to look to future hope that we have in Christ Jesus. Second, we saw that we can endure because we pivot our view not on the circumstance, but on that eternal hope that we have. And through that, we get joy. And thirdly, we just saw that we are not to throw away the confidence because of God's great power that is at work within us for every single believer. And fourthly, I want to share with you that as we begin to answer this question, how believers are to respond when faithfulness brings suffering, we are to live in light of Christ's certain return. Live in the light of Christ's certain return. We find that in verse 37. He says that for yet a little while, and the coming one will come and will not delay. We are able to sustain this suffering or persecution as we live for Christ, because we are certain that Christ is going to come and take us back to be with him where he is. And this is something, you know, we look at the scriptures throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament. God's promises, that's prophesying about him coming, has fulfilled. And those that he's prophesied before his second coming will be fulfilled as well. And we also know for sure, for certain, his second coming is certain. It's good. We just don't know the time. Many people have tried predicting it. And, you know, you don't want to be in that business. We don't want to be in that because, you know, God knows when that will be. But we know for certain he is coming. And that, my friends, should give us the strength to face the suffering, face the persecution that enables us to endure. And that's what the writer of Hebrews is saying, that we are to little while, remember for little while, and the coming one will come and will not delay. He's basically saying, you're going through these challenges. As I said earlier on, this was written to early Jewish Christians. They were going through some intense persecution. They are ready to throw the towel. You know, many commentators have talked about how much intense. I don't think we tasted anything close to it. And it is in those circumstances the writer is saying, remember, the way you can and I can go through these challenging times is when I look for the certainty that Christ is coming back for the second time to come and take me to be with him. Christ's return is not a theory. It's a guaranteed one. So having this constant dose of reminding ourselves is very, very critical and vital for us to live a vibrant Christian life. So when we face persecution of all kinds for the gospel, we can strengthen in our resolve to endure and remain, because the coming of the Lord Jesus will not be delayed, not in a single second. James, writing chapter 5, verse 8, tells us, you too be patient and strengthen your hearts, because the Lord's coming is near. So this certainty of the Lord's coming is meant to provide comfort, encouragement to believers facing trials and persecution, reminding them that their faithfulness will be rewarded. Will be rewarded. This certainty gives persecuted believers the strength. Perseverance is not pointless, but rather it has a purpose. Like I said earlier on, it is not the why, it is the what that we need to be thinking about, because to help us to pivot that perspective, that there is a purpose why God allows certain things. Faithfulness will be rewarded. That's what we are seeing. And justice will be delivered by Christ himself when he comes back for the second time. So we live with this eternal perspective, allowing us when we go through the suffering so that we can be vibrant, because our focus, our eyes are on that eternal perspective. So we've been looking at this question, what the writer is saying, how we as believers ought to respond when faithfulness brings suffering. We are reminded to look at God's past faithfulness. We are encouraged to challenge to endure with joy, because we're pivoting our focus on eternal hope. And that we have been told not to throw away confidence because of this great power that is within us for every single believer. And we just looked at that we are to answer this question as we live in light of Christ's certain return. A final thought I'll share with you is how do we respond to suffering when we living faithfully for the Lord, is to live by faith and not shrink back. Live by faith and not shrink back. And that is a true call to live to faith. Hebrews chapter 10 verses 38 and 39 says, "But my righteous one shall live by faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but those who have faith and have preserved their souls." And it talks about those who shrink back, my righteous one shall live by faith, and if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. It sounds very somber. It's very, it's a kind of like, okay, well, what does it mean then? You know, that does not necessarily teach loss of salvation. That is just not the case. But it reveals the difference between a true believer who has experienced genuine saving faith and the one person who has shown superficial confession, whenever that confession of faith took place. True colors will always show when we go through suffering. So the writer is definitely not necessarily talking about loss of salvation here particularly. It's about, if you're truly saved, if you had truly had that genuine saving faith, because that's why it says the righteous one shall live by faith. And so we have to remember that. And again, I'm remembering our camper from our camps, Purina. I truly believe God has really saved them. And you see what they've gone through and what they're going through, and there's still their resolve to live for Christ. It's a great testament to living by faith. So as we put both our feet in the rock solid truth of the certainty of the Lord's coming, we will live by faith and not shrink back in the face of persecution or suffering. And I think that's what the writer has been challenging and encouraging these believers who are going through some intense persecution, intense suffering for their faithfulness to the Lord, to live by faith and to not to just look at their present, but to look to Christ who will deliver them, not only as they live their life today on this earth, but for eternity to come. True faith endures. And I think that's what the writer is trying to encourage the believer, the Jewish believer particularly, and that's through the Spirit of God challenging and encouraging us this morning, that the true faith, the genuine faith that we have in Christ Jesus will enable us to endure because of what Christ has done and what he's doing today and what he will do in the days to come. So in conclusion, a vibrant Christian is not defined by ease, but by endurance. Not by comfort, but by confidence in Christ. Not by avoiding suffering, but by remaining faithful through it. I pray that myself and all of us will be people who will remember God's past faithfulness and present enabling power that is working in and through us to enable us to look to future, even when we are going through some tough time, suffering and persecution. So a final question that I ask for all of us, asking myself, if our faith in Christ begins to cost us more tomorrow, will we still follow him today? That's a question that we all need to prayerfully work in our hearts as the Lord's Spirit works through us in us. If our faith in Christ begins to cost us more tomorrow, will we still follow him today? That's something that we need to ask ourselves, and I pray that God would definitely indeed enable us to answer that and give us the strength that we need to endure because of the power that is at work within